So, I'm here with Rick Pasita, and I wanted to know, like, how are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I'm very celebrating Biden's win right now, but I'm also concerned because we know that the Republicans have a 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court, three of whom are Trump appointees. If he's able to appeal anything significant to the Supreme Court, he's likely to win. So we must resist that. We must resist the overthrow of our democracy through the Supreme Court. We must reject any decision that overturns the will of the American people.
So this is a question. So, you know, you've been looking at and on the pulse of, like, what's been happening with Trump and during this time and also the election, right? So from where you're understanding, what did you think about, like, when on night one, when Trump came out and declared victory?
You know, I didn't listen to him. And I think that we knew that. We knew he was going to do this. I mean, he had already said he wasn't going to concede. He already said that he was going to challenge every ballot if things didn't go his way. So we knew what he was going to do. And it's a mistake to pretend that somehow he's not going to try and overthrow our democracy. So we're aware of that, and we need to prepare, and we need to be vigilant, because this is not over. He still has to concede. We still have to get him out of office. I think the Supreme Court, we had Alito just recently ask the Pennsylvania to set aside some votes. So if he's able to steer it to the Supreme Court, we could see our democracy overturned. As of right now, I think the ire of the nation, the anger of the nation, is going to turn on the lopsided Supreme Court with illegitimate appointees. So that Supreme Court is going to be out of step with America, and they're going to face some retribution. And so we better be prepared and oppose. We need to oppose the misuse and abuse of the court to overthrow democracy. There's one thing that Americans agree on. That's what this election shows. Both sides came out because they were told that democracy is at stake. Americans agree on one thing, democracy. And I'm hoping that that's one thing that's going to bring us together in this situation, that even his supporters believe in democracy. And if we can counter his propaganda so that they don't fall victim to it, I think most of them are going to drop him. But he could still win in the Supreme Court, and we need to be careful about that and not drop our guard right now.
Yeah. So people should be celebrating, but they should take that into the streets, right?
Exactly. They should take the celebration into the streets, and they should also demand that the Supreme Court not overturn the will of the American people. That's unacceptable. We will reject it, and if they do, there will be a national strike. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I think it's unlikely, but it's a possibility, and we shouldn't let down our guard, and we should be persistent in that demand. There's no way our democracy is going to be subject to the whims of the justices on the Supreme Court.
All right, well, thank you. You know, I think a lot of people have been, you know, a lot of people are seeing that the count is going forward, and they're seeing that Biden is winning or projected to win, and they're, like, you know, taking to the streets in joy, you know, and in protest around this. And I think it's correct to really point out, like, that it's not over, and the Supreme, we actually have to be looking at the Supreme Court and all that, and continuing to get out, take it into the streets, you know, to definitely change the opinion.
Right. I think there are organizations out there right now who are telling people to be passive and inactive. That's a mistake.
Yeah,
we need to be out in the streets. We need to be forcing this issue. We need to let the Supreme Court know in no uncertain terms, very clear, we will not accept the decision that overturns the will of the American people. Or if we sit back and don't do that, then they could just run it through. We can't be passive and just allow it to happen. The Supreme Court is not an unbiased institution. I think people need to understand. I'm a lawyer, and in the first year of constitutional law class, they tell you that judges and justices are human beings. They have the same political views, the same opinions, the same loyalties as the rest of us. This is a political body. Right now, 3 Trump appointees, 6-3 majority.
Yeah.
We can't have this go to the Supreme Court. We can't allow it to go to the Supreme Court. There, anything significant, we've got to fight against, because we can't put this election, and we should not put this election, in the hands of the justices on the Supreme Court.
That's correct.
Right.
Well, thank you for this. It's been really good.
Thank you for interviewing me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the Word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world. This is Rich Procida. What you just heard was recorded at the Biden Victory Celebrations in downtown Los Angeles the Saturday after Biden was declared the winner of the election. Then we're going to hear my discussion on the following Saturday on spiritual emergency training with Lynn Mystic Healer. Finally, we'll turn to discussion at the Southern California Progressive Democrats of America meeting on Monday, November 23rd, with myself, the leader of the group, Jenna Beck, attorney Jonathan Adler, Dr. Bill Hogeman, Danette Abbott, Harry Loggenbacher, and a woman named Betty from Texas. Enjoy.
Rich Procida, special guest, he'll be on today. Rich Procida, you know, before on different shows, he's a constitutional lawyer, and he's got the Bible Studies for Progressives, and I really recommend his podcast and get connected with him and his groups on Facebook, please. And Travis, too, is here today. Thank you so much. So Travis is here, and his radio career spans more than 25 years. Currently, he's a news reporter, National Radio News Network, formerly morning show host, a news director, Bay Broadcasting on 4th Station, morning show host, operations manager, Bi-Coastal Media, 8th Station, DJ operations manager, on-site engineer, Hunt Broadcasting, 105.9 FM, The Wave, operations manager, on-site engineer, president, BO, Board of Directors, Coos Community Radio, 98.1 FM, The Zone. Also singer and a folk musician. Played banjo with the Blarney Brothers for almost 10 years. Whenever possible, jams with other musicians.
Hi there, Lynn.
Hi.
Is that Rich? Hi, Rich.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Rich. There you are. You speak up more, please.
Okay, this is Rich right here.
Hi, Rich.
I'm ready and raring to go. Hello, Travis. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So what do we do? What do we got? What's going on?
Well, right now, we're in a dangerous point in our country. We have a president who has refused to concede. Now, we knew he would do this before the election. He told us. In fact, he told us this will not end well. And I expect him to keep that promise. I think we're heading towards January with not really a guarantee that the Republicans or really any strong indication that Trump or the Senate Republicans will relinquish power or transfer power in January. So we're in a constitutional crisis at this time, but we're in a good position. We've done a lot. People have went out and they protected the results. They had poll monitors, poll chaplains, poll watchers. We made sure this election was one of the cleanest and fairest elections in the country's history. We made sure there was not going to be any violence because Trump was trying. We thought Trump might try to do that. But we knew he wasn't going to concede. And it's really time for the Democrats and for Joe Biden to stand up and defend themselves and to make sure that this election is not stolen from them. We will not accept any decision or action that overturns the will of the American people. So Biden needs to step up and defend himself. Americans believe in democracy. Both sides came out because they thought democracy was threatened. And we can use that. That's our unity. Americans do not want civil war or any conflict, and they certainly want democracy. So the American people need to come together, and regardless of whether you supported Trump or Biden, this election was just the same as any other election. The media came out. It took a little longer, but the media reported on the results that were reported by the states, and now the states are beginning to certify their ballots. So I think we're in a good position, and we're going to win this struggle. One of the things in answer to your question, Lynn, is, again, we've gone over this, the propaganda that Trump is spreading, basically disinformation about the election. And somehow he has his networks and was able to get that propaganda out to his audience. And one thing that is important for us to recognize at this stage is that very intelligent people can be deceived. That's what cults tell us. So we can't look at people who fall for this propaganda as somehow unintelligent. They're actually in a different culture, really, than we are. In fact, the rural culture is based on traditional values, God and country, guns and freedom. You know, these are country values, rural values. So they're in a different culture. And so we need to find a way to reach out to the heart of the American people. And we have not done that because both sides have their propaganda and both sides are trying to divide and conquer. And this is particularly a Marxist strategy to divide and conquer, but it's also a political strategy generally. So let's look at some of the Democratic Party propaganda. We know the Republican Trump's propaganda has been to defame the election, to spread doubt about our democracy and whether this election was free and fair in an effort to overturn the results. We know that. But what did the Democratic Party do? They came out with, let's be calm, let's have faith in our system. In the end, he can't do these things. He's not going to succeed. It's all over. Celebrate Biden's victory. We want to establish that Biden is going to be president, that it's inevitable, and that Trump can do nothing about it. And there's good reason for that strategy, but there's a drawback to that strategy. And the drawback is it causes everybody to act as if Trump is not doing what he's doing. And I really don't think that they realized what this was all about, because at the end of the election, I don't know if it was Biden, but somebody came out and said, democracy won. We have proven that democracy is, what do you mean democracy won? Well, what they meant was that democracy won the election. People voted because they thought democracy was at stake. So everybody came out and voted for democracy. They thought it was just a campaign slogan. They didn't think that Trump was going to try and overthrow the country and keep power. But think about it. When has an authoritarian leader, a fascist, ever willingly transferred power? I don't think it actually happens. They weren't aware. They thought that once the election was over, that was it. So they put everybody to sleep. They canceled their protest, put everybody to sleep, and they shouldn't have. They should have continued working to address the propaganda that Trump was going to spread. They should have known that he was going to do that, but instead they tried to put the whole Democratic left to sleep and say, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of it. It's going to be handled in the courts. So, and how quickly they, all these organizations, not just the Democrats, but all the organizations wanted to go right back to politics as usual. I mean, there needs to be a reevaluation. This was a disappointing election in many ways for the Democratic Party. Yes, we got rid of Trump, and that was absolutely necessary, because what Trump is trying to do now is he's trying to create an authoritarian breakthrough.
Yeah. What do you think, Travis? How can we do that? What do you think?
I'm not as worried as some people that I end up having conversations with. We're about to make a change, and to listen to Trump describe it, just like we're having the conversation we're having right now, we all recognize that that is misinformation. But he is as skilled and gifted at self-promotion as he is at driving the media in his direction. But that's not what chooses our leaders. We choose our own leaders, and it is a convoluted process, and there's plenty of corruption within it. But it's not defined by the way the media covers Donald Trump's misinformation. So I'm not worried that there will be a failure to transfer the power. I expect that will be handled in an orderly fashion. We're just spoiled because in most of the previous elections, at least during the time that I've been alive and watching, one of the two concedes. And this guy isn't doing that. So this is going to be an educational process for us. What do we do when somebody doesn't concede? If somebody gives up, the contest is over in any format. If one gives up, the other is automatically the winner. Well, that's not what's happening here. And we do have a legal process that we're going to continue to fully explore. And at the end of that legal process, we'll have our new president. But we're not going to have it based on one of them conceding like we're used to. It's just that we've been spoiled by that in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to prevent the change of power, though. I don't have that kind of worry.
Well, I wanted to address the idea and make clear that I think we're going to win. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't think we're going to prevail. I think we're in a good position. We had a very clean election. It was a nonviolent election. We were very successful there. And we won by a lot. We got people out to vote. In fact, historically, on both sides. So yeah, we are in a very good position. We would not be in a good position had we not done those things. So I think we're going to prevail. Yeah. Even though we are in a good position and we are likely to prevail, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be vigilant. And we shouldn't also listen and take seriously what Trump is saying and doing, and take seriously what the Republicans are saying and doing. This is what they're planning to do. This is not a child having a temper tantrum. You know, this is the leader of the most powerful nation in the world, and he's telling us what he plans to do. Now, just because we're in a good position doesn't mean we can prevail. I mean, the Supreme Court is not an unbiased institution. And if anything goes to the Supreme Court, anything, that court could overturn the election if we let that happen. Are we going to accept that? You know, just sit back, let the legal process take it over, and if it ends up overturning the election, we will accept that? No, we're not going to accept that. We're not going to accept anything that overturns the will of the American people. You know, Trump, we say, oh, Trump can't do it. He can't do it. This is always the delusion. But Trump has broken norms left and right. This is a party, the Democratic Party, who couldn't get their candidate, Gore, into office, even though they won the election, even though they won Florida in the end, they couldn't get it. Yeah. You know, they couldn't get their Supreme Court nominee, even though they were president. They couldn't get a Supreme Court nominee. They couldn't stop the recent Supreme Court nomination, even though it was a complete contradiction of previous policies and rules that, power doesn't make the rules. You know, power doesn't make principle rules.
Yeah.
So we need to, so basically, we need to remain vigilant. And the fact is, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's in the future. So to just sit back and say, just let this process roll out is not a strategy to confront a disinformation campaign by the administration and party officials. It's just not. And so Biden better get off his duff and defend himself in this situation. He's trying to orchestrate an authoritarian breakthrough. And what that means is there's a point of no return. In other words, if the Supreme Court overturns the election, or if the electors are successful in overturning the election, or if he can cause enough disarray, either starting a war with Iran, getting people to rally around the flag, think about it. He's already set up the Defense Department by putting loyalists in charge to use military force if necessary. So think about that. That he's already prepared that. He's willing to use it. Right?
They're not going to let the they're really
When has a fascist given up power? When has an authoritarian given up power? It doesn't happen. I think that on one end, we're in a good position, but on the other end, not set in stone. This is not necessarily going to happen the way we want it to happen. And let's look at the propaganda that the Democratic Party, we know Trump gave out disinformation, but how's the Democratic responding? They say, this is all about Trump making money. He's just trying to set up himself for after the election. Then we get all this stuff about, what Trump is doing, this, he's really doing that. That's no good. Listen to what he says. Listen to the promises he makes. Listen to what the Republican leaders are saying they're going to do. Don't listen to their narrative. Their stories are all lies. But listen to what they tell you they're going to do. They're stone cold serious when they say that.
What do you think, Travis?
What I think should be
countered? Both. Because if whatever we focus on, we create more of, period.
Let's go ahead and look at how they wanted to go right back to politics as usual, right back to their old bread and butter, whatever brings in the money. And rather than asking, what went wrong? How come we've lost the heart of the American people? How come 70 million people voted for a man who was incompetent? So he's very competent in his propaganda and in tricking people, but he's not working the government. And all the horrible things that he does and stands for and says, how come we're not reaching the middle of the country? Well, maybe not everybody has to be a socialist. Maybe we shouldn't use the socialist label. Why don't we focus on policies that people want, rather than on ideologies or labels or identities that people don't want? Ethnic studies, critical race studies, grievance studies, all those groups where they put people in categories and create a domination system where they move all the low people on the low status to the top, maybe they're not that great. And they certainly don't seem to be helpful in bringing the country back together again. So how are we going to reach all those people that are in this different culture?
I was looking at numbers on my small screen while you were going through that, and I was checking out different turnouts, and I heard 70 million people voted for Trump, and that is, I think that's something to be focused on. If I'm not in it, like I said before, I'm not in fear that we're not going to have a transition of power. That I think there are legal processes that will make that happen. The part that I fear is, how do you have a conversation with one of those 70 million people? I'm scared of entering into that conversation because, like I said before, I'm generally the guy that ends up being bullied. I'm not going to end up trying to be overbearing during that type of conversation. But I think it's important that we have that conversation.
We're going to need to find a way to support democracy, not only in this country, but in countries around the world. America has not been on the side of democracy in many of these countries. They've overthrown countries. We've got military bases all over the world upholding dictators. We're now slaughtering people in Yemen in support of the Saudi government. You know, these we need to find a way or else to support democracy. And what the left has done is said, oh, we don't want to engage in regime change. But then what do you do to promote democracy? And then sometime on the left, they say, oh, democracy doesn't work. It's not worth fighting for. That's not what these movements are around the world. They're all pro-democracy movements.
So yes, if we
don't protect democracy around the world, and we're going to find ourselves back in this situation with our democracy being threatened. And then to reach out to the middle of the country, I think we're going to have to use the Bible. I think that's a shared story that we can rally around, a shared story for Americans. Now, we're going to have to overcome this anti-Christian, anti-religion ideas, anti-American ideas on the left, because they're not the whole truth. They're only a part of the truth.
Well, the truth is
America has both good and bad.
Go ahead, Travis. Go, Travis.
I'm still looking at some numbers on the screen. Depending on who you're watching, 73 million votes for Trump, not 79 million votes for Biden. Still in the process of certifying it all. I'm just reaching back to that part of the conversation earlier. We're talking about that there are 70 million people, over 70 million people, that voted for the person that lost. And
you don't know.
Well, we know as best we can. Okay. I understand. Like I said, there's plenty of corruption in every process, in every human process. There's plenty of corruption. It's still going to work its way out. But you can't know each and every detail of it because, of course, there's going to be corruption because there's people involved in it. People bring the corruption, no matter what the system is.
And now we have the Protect the Results group. And that's the group that's trying to do the Democratic Party propaganda. And then we have Choose Democracy, which is also monitoring the situation. And while they may be right that there shouldn't be physical protest in the streets, it doesn't mean there shouldn't be actions, and we need to be preparing people for the possibility that Trump will refuse to leave office. The Republicans will support that, and he will likely be able to get at least some paramilitary troops out to protect himself from leaving the White House. Now, that's an unlikely scenario, but it's still a possibility. 70% of Republicans believe the election was fraudulent or unfair. And that is a terrible thing. It shows the strength and power of Trump's disinformation and propaganda. And that same strength and power is also directed at the left. They take our opinion, say, you know, we should follow science, which is personally reasonable opinion, and they push it to you should reject Christians and Christianity. So that's the type where they say this American...
Christians that say that they're pro-life, right? Well, why are they pro-war? And how many have been used in the penal industrial complex? And look what's happened with the blacks and the Native Americans. We're here to shine light on this horrible darkness. How can people get a hold of you?
Okay, so I'm at Bible Study for Progressives. Show's coming out tomorrow. You can find it on all your podcast apps. I write for laprogressive.com. Rich Procida, P as in Paul, R-O, C as in car, I, D as in David, A. And you can reach me on Facebook. I have a number of groups. Bible Study for Progressive, my blog, modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. And just keep aware out there and be prepared because
I don't know
what's going to happen.
We're almost done. We're going to be okay. What about, and your constitutional lawyer background and admin, Social Security admin. Thank you so much, Rich, for being on and all that you do. We'll be in touch. Thank you so much. And Travis, what would you like to add in today?
Oh, I just want to say thanks for inviting me for this. Thanks for allowing us to use these recordings on our little community radio station. If folks want to check out what we've been up to, you can go to kjaj.org. Those are J's, like Jimmy, kjaj.org. And and you can listen to Lynn's show there as well as BBS Radio.
And 98.1 FM.
In the Coos Bay area near the coast, 98.1 FM and online, kjaj.org.
So Donald Trump today tweeted, I want to thank Emily Murphy at GSA for her steadfast dedication and loyalty to our country. She has been harassed, threatened, and abused, and I do not want to see this happen to her, her family, or employees of GSA. Our case strongly continues. We will keep up the good fight, and I believe we will prevail. Nevertheless, in the best interest of our country, I am recommending that Emily and her team do what needs to be done in regard to initial protocols, and have told my team to do the same. Okay, so we just got concession number three. So Rich, do you want to talk about, I know you've got a lot of opinions about this. Do you want to kick off this conversation?
Sure. So what's happening, in my opinion, is that we are forcing him out. Everything that we've done to make sure the election was clean and fair, to make sure we got the votes out, all of that was not just to win the election, but to win it significantly and to make sure there was the trainings to do de-escalation and to do poll watching, poll monitoring, all of that created a situation that put us in a very, very good position. And we are on a path to victory right now. Now, having said that, what's happening is we are have to force Trump out of power. That's what we're doing right now. And in my view, I don't see how an authoritarian dictator willingly giving up power. So I'm not letting my guard down at this point. And also, I think there are ramifications of his refusal to concede. It has ramifications for the future of the nation. So before this, I'd planned a meeting that would be about this. The Republican Party's turn to authoritarianism, his abuses of power. How are we going to deal with a situation where the executive is allowed to abuse power and run roughshod over Congress? And how are we going to shore up our system of checks and balances? And what are we going to do about our democracy? We were on the verge of losing it. If we didn't win it by as much as we did, if something happened, and even now, 70% of the Republicans say they believe that the election was stolen. And if he does decide that he's not going to leave, you know, what's going to happen then? Will he be drug out? Will there be protest? And what else will he try and do? Because I believe he will continue to attempt. And I don't think this quasi concession, I don't really consider it a concession, because this is really an insult to Joe Biden. This is an insult to the Democratic Party. And what Trump is trying to do is take Biden's presidency away from him. And how should we respond to these type of wanton and dangerous behavior? What's the appropriate response to that? And we've seen the Democratic Party and Protect the Results. They've had one response, but it has a drawback in that it sort of just lets everybody sort of almost act as if what Trump is trying to do isn't happening. So now what I'm looking at is trying to do a presentation. I got Alan Minsky to agree to be on it. I'm trying to get other speakers to be on it. And I'm thinking of calling it The Implications of Trump's Refusal to Concede and the Republican Turn to Authoritarian, or the Republican Party's Turn to Authoritarianism. I'm wondering what people think about that. And I have a lot of other technical questions about, you know, how to get the graphics out, whose Zoom account to use, additional speakers, and all of that. But as far as this discussion goes, I think now's not a time to let down our guard. And if anything, that's what Trump's want. Trump has not conceded. When he says that we're going to win, we're going to prevail, I'm just letting her do the protocols.
Okay. Thank you. And what time is your meeting going to be at on Sunday?
It's at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Sunday, the 29th.
And then, Jonathan, I see that your hand is up.
So let's see. I basically agree with Rich, but I do want to point out that we really dodged a bullet here. We came pretty close to really being in trouble regarding protecting our democracy, only because of the utter incompetence. Trump himself, his administration, the people he appoints, inability to think beyond the next 6 minutes, to do any planning, strategizing. And just think that we won Wisconsin by about 10K votes, Georgia by about 12K, and Arizona by, I think, like 14, 15 K votes. And that adds up to 37 electoral votes, which if you take away from 306, would have left it at a tie at 169. So even if it had come down to one state, it would have really given a lot more energy to, his effort in the courts. Where I disagree with you slightly, Rich, is I think that by going through the courts and making such a utter disaster of those efforts and having such incompetence as Giuliani and, what's the name of the tall lady, just make fools of themselves. And fortunately, the more responsible law firms pulled out, not wanting to get sanctioned by a court. But for that, we would have been in more of a fight. So I think that given that, I'm not saying that Trump conceded or ever will. I mean, at least the transition is going forward. What he has in mind, obviously, is keeping control over the Republican Party, keeping them all in terrorem, fearing a tweet to delegitimize the Biden presidency. And this is all made possible by the 77% of Republicans who voted for Trump, which constitutes 30% of the electorate, that believes that the election was won only because of fraud and rigging. So what we really ought to be focusing on is this very difficult, tricky business of how you get to somebody who is deep within a cult, deep within a set of conspiracy beliefs. Not just, quote, unifying doesn't do much good when you're dealing with somebody who doesn't even accept your basis of factual reality. Those are really the challenges. The other is how powerful and important are the HR1 democracy protection provisions that are the senior cause of the blockades, the barriers to us at getting anything done on good, important substantive issues like healthcare and climate change, et cetera. And I just reread closely HR1, and it's unbelievable that it would do away with partisan political purpose gerrymandering and block just about every voter suppression tactic that's been out there since Shelby County versus Holder in 2013. So those are things that the structural things that would even the playing field a bit.
Dr. Bill, you have your hand up.
I do. Thanks for noticing. So I just wanted to kind of pick up on what you had presented, which was Trump's third concession. I'm not sure what the first two were, but this incremental concession that he's doing, and to kind of put it in the context of what we saw as a result of November 3rd, to me, the overall significance of November 3rd is, and the development of this cult, Trump followers, which, I was out doing that kind of no contact literature drop canvassing in neighborhoods here and seeing the Trump flags and Trump households was really kind of shocking. I mean, I don't remember seeing that in 4 years ago, in 2016. So it was like, this has turned into a kind of grudge match, kind of like even like putting your sports team flags on your car kind of thing. So it's kind of become one of those, you know, like a sporting thing, like NASCAR or something else, you know, that people identify with. So it's become, the polarization has become less about issues, I think, than just personal identity. And, you know, you hear non sequiturs, like somebody being asked to wear a mask, and the response of the person is, fuck Black Lives Matter, which had nothing to do with wearing a mask, I might just point out, is totally incongruous. So to me, the act of Donald Trump conceding has less significance than the fact that we're going to be dealing with this development of a cult for some time still. And the cult that's here now demands that it no longer be looked at as linear, that we can't see ourselves as center right, center left, and that whole discussion about what is progressive and what do we have in common with those neighbors who have Trump flags on their houses or driving around on their cars, you know, with Trump flags, because we do have things in common. I mean, climate change is affecting all of us. Healthcare, COVID-19 is affecting all of us. Our kids not having jobs when they get out of the college is affecting all of us. All of those things are subjects that we need to be reaching common ground on. If the DNC or the CDP, the California Democratic Party, can't get its collective head out of its asses to talk about these things, then we're going to go nowhere in the next 4 years. We're going to have the same battle. I just hope I don't put this all on Joe Biden, that's for sure. Biden-Harris, the team they're assembling, I have very little confidence in them doing this. But if they saw the light, they would start putting in place actual actionable policy like executive orders, or, you know, they can call it something else. It doesn't have to be Medicare for All. They can call it America's Health Plan, you know, or something like that, that would actually provide people with health care during this period of time that they won't be able to take back once the pandemic is gone, and would actually move forward with a Green New Deal. They don't have to call the Green New Deal, but that kind of thing is going to have to happen. And they're going to have to select those issues that we all have commonality on. Otherwise, this cult divide is not going to disappear.
Thank you. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there, right there, when you were talking about how the anti-maskers, they sort of framed their arguments around Black Lives Matter. And that's what we saw also with Blue Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. And it's really just whataboutism. It's entirely distraction campaigns. The GOP has been doing this for decades, where they're like, oh, well, we're going to dismiss what you have to say by reframing it into something entirely different and demonizing an entire demographic of people in order to accomplish that. So they are constantly putting down these groups who are trying to advocate for their specific needs and saying, well, your needs don't address the needs of everyone in America. So we're not going to pay attention to you because you're a specific group of people. And that doesn't apply to everyone. And that's where we run into some trouble, because some of the progressives agree with that. And that's where our horseshoe theory comes in, right? That they're like, well, I don't want to participate in identity politics. Again, another rebranding of something to demonize it. When in reality, yes, we need to be concerned about Black Lives Matter. We need to help them advocate for their issues. Yes, we need to be concerned about female reproductive rights and equality and LGBTQ and all of these other marginalized groups. And we cannot continuously let the GOP reframe the arguments of all these groups and do their whataboutism and demonization. And Rich, yes, I do see that your hand is up next.
Thank you, Jenna. And I do agree with everyone. And I do agree with what Jonathan said as well. And I think one of the things, as far as what we have in common, I think both sides came out because they were told that democracy was at risk. And so Americans believe in democracy. And we're going to have to deal with this problem we have where disinformation can be disseminated to masses of information people who will just suck it up and act on it. How are we going to deal with that form of magic in a way, if you read my tarot card reading? And it's also important to recognize something that we've learned from cults, because like we've said, this is a lot like a cult, is that very intelligent people can be deceived. And so we need to recognize that when we think about Trump supporters and these lawyer who is saying crazy things that are really insane and nonsensical. And yet, obviously, this person is a very intelligent person. So, yeah, we need to see that not only in those other people, in our opponents, but also in ourselves. Recognize in ourselves that even though we are intelligent, even though we are aware, we can be deceived as well. Sometimes we spend a lot of time looking at the buffet of progressive and liberal ideologies and labels and programs, and we might need to turn around and look the other way sometimes. There's a large part, I think, of what's going on here is just a different culture, God and country, traditional moral values type of culture that we're dealing with. So in addition to democracy, we're going to have to deal with the problem of the dissemination of disinformation and how people are so easily manipulated and how we can reach out to that middle of the country, that Bible Belt, God-believing, traditional value, hard work, individualist type of culture that exists in much of our rural areas.
Thank you, Rich. Danette, I do see your hand up. I don't know if you're having a hard time raising it. I might still have you as host from the last time we did this.
That could be right, yeah. I actually wanted to disagree a little bit with you, Rich. I think you're referring to Giuliani. I don't think he is intelligent. There's several forms of intelligence. He might have book learning, but he's definitely not emotionally intelligent or, yeah, I don't agree with that. I think there's something in their past that makes them act this way. I don't know if Trump has something on him. I don't know if it's just a power thing, but I disagree. I don't think they're smart people at all.
I wasn't actually referring to Giuliani. I was referring to that woman.
Yeah, I don't think, I think a lot of them. I mean, I think that we'd be in really big trouble if we had someone with Trump's proclivities that was actually smart. That's where you get into really scary ground. But I don't think a lot of them are very smart, thankfully, because we would be in a different boat right now if they really knew what they were doing.
Rich, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but she got fired over Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Yeah, that's the one I was talking about. I forget what her name was.
Sidney Powell,
I think. Yeah, Sidney Powell. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a law degree. I mean, she went to law school.
She was also representing, who was that other guy that's still fighting? Carson somebody, right? He's still fighting federal charges for Russian connections. She was representing him as well.
But maybe she's corrupt then.
I think that's probably more likely, is that she is a corrupt lawyer. Of course, you know, that is my opinion. I'm not stating that as fact, so don't sue me for saying that. But she does look that way. I perceive her to be that way. And it just seems like she's coming up with ridiculous arguments. And I think one of the things that lawyers do is that they know that they can get away with certain claims outside of legal documents. But once they actually get into the courtroom, they have to actually follow procedure and follow law. And that's why nothing that they have been saying in these press conferences is actually getting brought up in court.
Yeah, I think that's true. And they can't have frivolous claims. I mean, I think the whole thing is that this was an abuse of the courts, that Trump was abusing the courts. And the court was going to less and less tolerate that. I do think that they're not necessarily stupid. And I think that probably is something we're going to need to cope with. But Yeah. So I guess that's my comment to what you said. I'm sorry.
No problem. Does anybody else want to weigh in on this subject?
So real quick, you know, with Sidney Powell, she left the field open. She was glad that the court rejected her because now they could take it to the Supreme Court. So that means Trump can email and text all his followers. Oh, I need money. I need more money for this. See how we're going to win this case. We're going to take it to the Supreme Court. So I think she's a fucking nutcase cult Trumper. Oh, that's it.
You know, Betty, I actually was kind of thinking the same thing when I saw this go down, is that they were actually setting it up for the case of having an incompetent lawyer so that they could set up for the appeal.
And money.
One thought, nagging thought I've had, well, my hope is that Trump's defiance now and these legal cases are part of his typical pattern of falsely claiming he's going to sue people and resist. Like he said, he would never settle his university fraud case, but he just let it go. I know he's entirely unpredictable. The thing I think he's going to turn over the government to Biden, but I also think he's going to try to continue to be a cult leader. And I'm afraid that there are militants around the country that are waiting for his activation call, and they're going to want to be the first to kill somebody or something. I really worry about that. But I think I try to be optimistic more than some people. I think this is a good sign. They actually sent a letter to Biden saying they're going to start the transition.
Thank you, Harry. Absolutely. I think those are reasonable fears. We've seen that it's already happened. He's already dog whistled white nationalists and militia armies. And they have responded to the call, sometimes in pathetic ways and sometimes in devastating ways where they're actually hurting people. The one where they showed up in Oregon, I think, went poorly for them. It was a much smaller turnout than they were expecting, and they were completely overwhelmed by the Portland turnout. You don't want to go into Portland if you don't have the right numbers, because Portland's been doing this all summer.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast, or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.